We always like to have in an all-age service a question that we throw out, and sometimes you might want to discuss this question with the people that you've come with or the people that you're sitting near, or it may just be a question that you want to spend a couple of minutes pondering on, maybe talking to God about. But I've got a question which hopefully you'll see the connection with what we were doing in Pictionary, if nothing else. When there is an argument or a fight, whose side is God on? When there's an argument or a fight, so if you want to think about it a little bit more, what might cause God to say, I'm taking that person's side? Have a think, have a pray, have a chat with the person next to you. I'm not going to ask you to feedback. I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes to think about this, and then I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes from a Bible passage in just a moment. I love the babble of noise because this is the sound of God's people doing theology. Did you know that? I'm not going to ask you for your answers because I think we'll go all over the place, and I'm actually not going to try and answer that whole question by any means. We'd be here for weeks. But I'm going to zoom in on a passage of the Bible that I think gives us a partial answer to that question. And if you want to read the Bible passage, I'd encourage you to grab one of the red Bibles from the back. I'm actually going to be looking at the events that took place in Genesis chapter 16. I am not going to read the passage. The reason for that is that some parts of the passage are probably not certificate U, they're probably certificate PG, and in an all-age service, I don't want to unpack the whole of this passage, but I do want you to be able to follow the passage and make sure that what I'm talking about isn't just stuff I've plucked out of my brain, it is actually in that passage. It was 6 of 1 and 6 of the other. Is what my mum used to say to my sister and I. Usually because we'd fallen out, usually actually because we'd had a bit of a fight. Did you ever hear that at home? Is that something you've ever said to other people? 6 of 1 and 6 of the other. And what it means, I guess, is that both of you are equally to blame. I can't decide whose side to take. Both of you are to blame in this argument or this fight. Only sometimes God doesn't seem to say 6 of 1 and 6 of the other. Sometimes God seems to take a side. Now, Abraham had a complicated life. We've been looking at the events of Abraham's life in the morning services over the last few weeks. And as I said, today I'm looking at the events that took place and are recorded in Genesis chapter 16. It's on page 16 in those red Bibles. Please do read it while I'm talking if you'd find that helpful. Abraham had a complicated life because he had two wives, which was allowed back then. That was okay. Sarah was his first wife. They'd been married for a long, long time, but they didn't have any children, which made both of them extremely sad. But Sarah had a slave, which was allowed back then. And the name of her slave was Hagar. And Abraham married Hagar too, which was complicated, as you can probably imagine. And then Hagar, who was Abraham's brand new wife, who was also the slave of the old wife, Hagar became pregnant. She was going to have a baby, which was exciting. And that's when the trouble started, because Sarah and Hagar fell out. I mean, big time fell out. And I don't know whether Abraham saw that coming. It feels like Abraham should have seen that coming, don't you think? I don't know, but Abraham doesn't seem to have predicted that. And sometimes I wish the Bible would give us just a little bit more detail. We don't know exactly what happened. What it tells us is that Hagar started to look down on Sarah. She started to think she was better than Sarah. Now, we don't know what she said or what she did. Look at my baby bump. Abraham's going to love me and my baby so much. I mean, I'm guessing, I don't know, but she said or did something. And we know that when Hagar looked down on Sarah, we know that it wasn't just in her head, because Sarah knew that Hagar was looking down on her. And Sarah was jealous. And then Sarah got mean. And she started to treat Hagar badly, so much so that Hagar decided that she had to run away. So who was to blame? Because it was a mess, wasn't it? But whose fault was the mess? I mean, actually, Hagar had started it, hadn't she? She had the thing that Sarah wanted, but instead of being nice about it, instead of being kind about it, she said or did something that showed Sarah how much she despised her. Hagar definitely started it. But then Sarah was mean. I mean, really, really mean. So who was to blame, Hagar or Sarah? Or was it six of one and half a dozen of the other? What's interesting, if you read on in that passage in Genesis 16, is that God picks a side. Two women, both sad, both hurting, both upset, probably both really angry. But God sent the angel of the Lord to one of them with a message to say that things were going to be all right. To tell her that God had seen her, that he knew how upset and hurt she was. And the angel visited Hagar while she was running away. I wonder why God chose her and not her. I mean, weren't they both equally hurting? Weren't they both equally upset? Weren't they both equally wrong? Now, I've got a theory. I want to share this with you. I can't prove it from Genesis 16, but I can say with a certainty that this theory is consistent. It ties in with the way God is with people throughout the Bible. Here's my theory. Both Hagar and Sarah were guilty of holding a grudge in their hearts towards the other one. Both Hagar and Sarah were guilty of being unkind to the other one and treating them badly. But one of them was in a position of strength, and the other one wasn't. Now, any time that one person treats another one badly, God doesn't like that. But when someone is in a position of strength and they mistreat someone who's in a position of weakness, that isn't just unkind. That's what we call bullying. And God really dislikes bullying. And you see that right the way through the Bible. God is always on the side of the bullied person and opposed to the bully. Always. Now, you might say, well, Sarah, she wasn't strong. She was an old lady. And she was. But strength comes in different forms. Strength can mean actual physical strength. I could beat you up. Being bigger and stronger than the other person. Strength can also mean strength of personality. If that gives you the ability to laugh at someone and make them look daft. Strength can mean strength of position. If, like Sarah, you have authority over the other person. Strength can be strength of numbers. If you've got a gang of friends with you and they're on their own. Now, I'm sure that Sarah would have said, but she started it. She sneered at me. She was unkind to me first. Most bullies don't realise that they're bullies. They just enjoy being in a position of strength. But that's the difference between just being unkind and being a bully. God still had some brilliant plans for Sarah. It wasn't like he'd given up on her. If we read on through Genesis, we'll find out later that she had a baby too. All sorts of good things happened to her. But when she used her position of strength to mistreat her slave Hagar, it was Hagar that God moved close to. Because any time someone is treated unkindly by someone stronger, you will find God by their side. Ella.
We are just going to spend a few moments reflecting on what Paul has just spoken to us about. I wonder if we each need to have a quiet moment with God. Is there anyone you've fallen out with recently? Are you in a position of strength with that person or a position of weakness? What could you do to make things right? Let's allow God to speak to us now. Maybe we need to seek God's forgiveness ourselves. Or maybe we need to say sorry to someone. Let's have a minute of quiet as we speak to God. Dear Lord, thank you that you see each one of us and you care about us. We are sorry for the times we've been unkind or when we've hurt others with our words and actions. Please help us to be kind, to be patient, and to notice those who feel left out or upset. Give us the courage to make things right with those we've fallen out with. Help us use our strength and power to help others, not to hurt them. Thank you that you are always with us. Amen.